Welcome to RSBC on Sea. I'm Al.
And I'm Zenny.
And this is The Random One. We're going to be talking about absolutely anything. So hi everyone, today we're going to be talking about cultures and stereotypes. Anyway, let's start. So we are
the random
from...
podcast.
The random podcast. All right. We are both from ethnic. I don't know if some of you are aware or not aware, but Zenny and I are from different ethnic minority groups, two different ethnic minority groups. I'm Bengali, but British, and Zenny is...
Pakistani. Yeah, boy.
Thank you.
They got the thank Pakistanis.
And we just wanted to talk about kind of things that have been what kind of stereotypes evolve around those cultures with regards to blindness. All right. So, all right, you start. What do you think has been a big thing that you've had to face that you've not felt has been... I mean, okay, let's talk about stereotypes in general. And then let's see where they fit into.
I had an answer for your first question. Ugh.
Yeah, go on, answer the first question. All right.
The first thing that is incredibly annoying.
Oh, incredibly, not just annoying. All right.
Oh, it's incredibly annoying. Right. Annoying is the fact that we're always patronized. Yeah. Like, just
I don't think we're always
like, oh, we're always patronized here.
Oh, all right.
You go to anyone's house. Do you don't need to feed you? No, I don't want you to feed me. I'm not a baby.
I do.
Hold a spoon. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It means I don't have to use my hands.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just the littlest, like, simplest things. Like, I think I once had this family member was like, oh, do you need to go in the toilet with you? I was like, no, no, I don't. Thank you ever so much. I'm not going to sit there and have you watch me pee. No, it's not how this works.
Yeah, I think... there is that theme of overhelp, and I think a lot of people haven't seen, particularly when they've grown up in those countries, what we are actually able to do. Because the way this country works, and the way things seem to work in these other countries, slightly. In fact, I think particularly in the poorer parts of Bangladesh, I can't speak for Pakistan, but I think particularly in the poorer parts of Bangladesh, where they haven't got the technology to work with, or they haven't got the means of understanding how some of us do things, and they haven't got systems in place, which mean that, as well as the people working in those environments being aware, the general public aren't aware because they can't see those systems being put in place. And I feel like a lot of the things that come about, the helplessness, the kind of that feeling of overhelping people or underhelping people, comes from that lack of knowledge. And I think we've got that in this country. And I think people have grown and generations have come, and this kind of thing has evolved, this kind of understanding of disabilities and what adaptations can be made has evolved through people being in this country and actually learning a little bit. Because you'll see what you'll probably see, and you've probably seen it, Zenny, and tell me if I'm talking too much, but you've probably seen a lot of people will find, like, particularly in places that we need help, like whether it's taxis, whether it's stations, whether it's places like that, tend to be from a lot of those. You'll find people from similar cultures and stuff like that, who have learned things because of being in this country, because of having the training, having the right equipment, having the right, you know, having the, you know, the thingy, like the kind of the means to come here, whether it's their parents or whether it's them coming here. So yeah, that overhelp, underhelp thing, I think definitely comes from that.
Yeah, it's like linking to what you said. It's like, I feel like we get offered help when we don't really need it. They can see that, well, people can see that we're actually okay with something, but then when we actually need some help, like, no one wants to help. Like, and that's just not like the Pakistani culture. I'm just saying in general, like, you go out, you'll be like, there'll be like a busy, like, freaking, I don't know, like, main road, and you're like trying to cross, and like, sometimes you'd like, say if it was dark, or I mean, it wouldn't make a difference, but say if it was like raining and you know, you couldn't hear the cars properly and stuff, and you actually need help. No one wants to help you because they all just want to run away, like run around and get, you know, past. But when you're like just okay and you're just, you know, whatever, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, I don't even know what to say. I don't know. But yeah, like, like, you know, if people say, you know, do you need some help, that's absolutely fine. But this whole patronization thing, like, you know, when I, what was it? I made a coffee. Oh, that was it. Yeah. So I had some family members around, and they were having tea, and I made coffee for myself because they wanted tea, and I don't like packy tea. Well, not that much anyway. So I wanted coffee. So
okay, coffee. Just for the sake of it, what's the difference
between
Pakistani tea and our tea is just less. Yeah, our tea is just less, like, less light. So, you know, like, English tea is quite light. The British breakfast tea is quite light and not very strong.
Yours is lighter.
Not as light is what I'm saying. It's stronger. It's heavier on the tea taste.
Yeah. So ours is like that too. Kind of like, it's like a very, it's very, very filling. It feels like a kind of broth kind of thing. It's like very, because it's just made of milk. It's not got any water in it. So what they do is they put the tea bags in the,
is it the masala tea?
I don't know. No, we've used normal tea bags as well, like normal English tea bags.
Oh, no, because I think with masala tea, they use the loose tea.
Oh, no, we haven't. I mean, you probably could, I guess, but I don't. I've never done it. And you just put it in a pot, like, and you put the milk and you just, like, boil it. And if you put sugar in it as well, it is good. It's nice when you have, like, breakfast, and you have, like, a packy breakfast, and you have, like, you know, the tea, and you have the paratha, which is, like, the kind of bread thingy, and then, like, some sort of curry or I don't know what it's called in English. What's it called in English? That halva. I don't know what you guys call it.
It's not an English thing. We make a thing. We make a similar thing. We call it tusha, and it's basically a similar thing. So it's dough that you kind of fry, and it's cinnamon and like.
Oh, is that what it is? Is it dough fried dyed throw? Fried dough. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, basically. Or you can. The thing is, you can halwa comes in so many. All comes under one category. Like you can actually make it with so many different. So it's actually, you can also make it with like semolina and stuff. I think halwa comes from that kind of spices thing. You kind of have that cardamom, cinnamon, and thingy going on. Cardamon. Bay leaf. Bay leaf. Yeah, you can make it with carrots. You can make it with carrots.
That's a nice one. That's nice with ice cream. Warm halva, warm gajbilo, like with ice cream. Oh my god, you have it at all the weddings, don't you? Like
weddings, yeah, you weddings. Do. Yeah.
Oh, you guys have it the same thing. Yeah. We do that too. We have like gajbilo. We have so the typical wedding food are like
rice, sometimes you get gulab jam and ice cream and stuff with a good dessert. Yes. Actually, I'm not a massive fan of that. I'm not. I just find I like the gulab jam on its own, man. I just don't think it goes with ice cream.
If it's warm, then it does. Kind of. It's very sweet, though.
We've kind of gone off topic. Anyway.
It doesn't matter. It's a run podcast. It's fine.
We were talking about the tea. Oh, yeah. You were making a coffee. You were telling me the story. That's where we were. Go on.
Yeah. So I was making this coffee and I made it and I sat down and they were just like staring at me. Like, huh? Why are you staring at me? Like, what? Mum was like, yeah, she's made her own coffee. And they were just like, oh my God, that's so good. Bearing in mind, guys, I am like I'm 20 on Saturday.
And I was
like 19, 20, huh?
Yeah, my brother's 21 on Saturday. Aww. You know this. Come on, you know this.
It's still my birthday. Yeah, I know. but like, you know, I literally was an adult. You know, I was 19 or 18. I was 18 or 19. I was no under than that. They were just like, oh wow, that's amazing. And mum was like, yeah, she can do other stuff as well, she can cook and everything. Like, oh my god, it was such a big deal. I was like oh, I'll get like a stove and put it on your head just to show. I don't know, I would never have done that, but I was just so annoyed. I was just like, I don't like being patronized, like I don't, because the thing is, it's like we're still normal people, we're not like aliens or something. Like being blind doesn't mean that you're incapable of stuff, do you know what I mean? It just doesn't. Ugh, no.
So basically, I think what we're kind of trying to say, I think what we're touching on here is, we've seen these sorts of there are these stereotypes. We're not saying that they don't exist here. I just think they exist more among the less aware people. And I just think that kind of patronizing thing comes from, and I think it's the less awareness that seems to be the thing within those cultures. But I think there is less awareness here as well.
But it's not even just that though. Like, it's not even just the different cultures, because I've done it. Because some of it is common sense. Like, for example, say, you know, when you go out, with your friend, or you're just and someone's offering you guys something, and they won't ask you, they'll ask the person.
This is the thing we were going to come on, but I think
this is the most annoying thing ever, when you're sitting there, you're sitting there, engaging the conversation or whatever. And it happened to me. This happened to me. This hasn't even, it's happened to me by my own family members. They always do it. So I'm not going to even go into that, because they always do it all the time. They're like, oh, does she want to be on rice? Does she want to be like, yes, she does.
Have you actually gone and said that? Have you done that? And you've actually gone, yes, she does. And how did they react when you did that?
They just laughed. But anyway, I'm going to go into a similar story. And this happened actually in the Houses of Parliament. So I hate to diss you guys out, but I've got no problem with Parliament or nothing. I'm just saying, this is where it happened. I went on this trip, because I did politics for A-levels, and we went to see the Houses of Parliament. Yeah. And the tour guide was, he was standing right next to me. And the other thing is, they think that talking in a very hushed voice means that you can't hear them, but you can, because you're not, you are blind. It doesn't impact your hearing, it impacts your eyes. But anyway, I was standing there right near him, and I was standing with the head of sixth form and the guy, the tour guide, and he goes, so we're about to go to this other part of it. And he turns around to him, he looks at me, he turns around and goes, would she be okay with stairs? And I went, yes, I will, thank you. But, I would prefer if you asked me next time, because, I am capable of speaking for myself.
I was so annoyed
at that point. He was yes, of course, sorry, ma'am. And then since then, and then after that, he just, always talks to me and stuff. I was like, thank you. I don't back down. I'm sorry, someone's going to do that to me. I want to say something.
Do you know what it is as well? I think I've had this as well, and people would come... But I've had it from both. So there's a guy who lives... I got a neighbour who lives across. And actually, he'll walk around and ask my brother if he's all right. And then he'll be like, is your brother all right? He's actually white, believe it or not.
But this is the thing. This guy was also I think he was English. He sounded really posh. He was British and English.
I think this is what I mean. I think that kind of... That one actually comes from lack of awareness, and I don't think some of these stereotypes are more prone in certain cultures, but I think some of them are general lack of awareness. And I think, like that guy. But I've also had people asking my brother other things about me, and brother, or my dad, no one would stick up. No one would say he can actually talk for himself.
My mum does.
It's actually quite, because the thing is, they think it's rude to say. Ask him what he wants.
Yeah, this is the thing. The people that you're with,
my brother gets that, and they just feel that. I asked them, why did you not tell them? Why did you not tell them to talk for myself after that many years living with me? But I think it's hard for them because they think it's rude. I think it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but I think it's up to us to be assertive sometimes. And in our case, you've been able to do it. I've been able to do it sometimes, and it's not come across well.
I try and do it as casually as I can. It's like I'm going to go, I'll just do it for myself. And obviously it's not going to go well. But
I think I once said, bro, I can talk for myself.
Okay, that's just...
My brother was like, why did you say... When we'd left that guy, my brother just went, why did you do that for?
Because
that wasn't the same story. That wasn't the same story I said before, but that was just someone else. It's happened to me that many times.
It happens all the time. Yeah. Another thing, like, could I just say, adding on to that same kind of subject, I don't know if they do it in, like, your culture, or maybe they don't do it because you're a man, but, like, people, Pakistani people, think that it's okay to patronize you, not only patronize you, but then to, like, stroke your hair or squeeze your... Oh, the annoying one, squeeze your cheeks. I'm like, stop it! Don't touch me!
Yes,
I swear.
We do. I think
punch you in the head.
We do get
I hate
it.
When they do that.
I do get it from the older people. Like, let's say there's older people that are family
members. Older people, fair enough, yeah.
And I don't mind that, because I think they've been probably doing it from a young age. And to be honest, yeah. I think so. Meanwhile, and they think it's affectionate. And, like, you know, we have the grannies and people. I just think...
They're fine.
I kind of like that. I don't mind that.
But then you get these, like, weird, like, 29-year-old men, like, with this, like, half smile, like, trying to touch your hair, like, don't touch me!
Yeah, no, I think, luckily, we don't seem to get that a lot. I think it just depends on the people. And I think we don't seem to get that a lot. Like, if someone came up to my sister, someone in my family would just be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's just like... But, and then they do that. They'll be stroking your hair and pinching your cheeks. And they'll be talking to you, like, very slowly. Like, are you okay, sweetie? I'm like, I'm fine, thanks. But obviously not like that.
I think you should respond in the same voice and be like, yes, I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm still going to do that. I'm going to do that, yeah. But, like, it's just, it's like they understand when they want to understand, but they don't when they don't want to. Like, it's like it's very like what's the word I'm looking for? It's very
when they want,
and then they change it. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about like. Go off the blind kind of card and talk about the gender card for a little while, because I think
we got two cards.
Yeah, we got two cards. You can choose which one you got. So, like,
which one do I want?
Which one? I don't care what you want. I'm gonna have what I want first, and you can just say what's left.
All right.
joking. You guys can tell how long we've been friends for. So I just wanted to like talk about the gender. Like, so what's some stereotypes for women and for men, like what's you guys' beliefs and stuff? I'm guessing they're probably gonna be quite similar.
A lot
to
of
ours.
The time, yeah, a lot of the time, it's like my parents would have a go at my brother. I don't know. It's like kind of there's a kind of female having less. I don't know, less. What's the word I'm looking for? Kind of less liberties. I think that's the word.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, my sister, if she's out for too late, they'll be ringing her, texting her. My mom will be like, oh, why do you... Yep. And when my brother's out, they'll come home, tell him off a little bit, and they'll forget about it.
They'll forget about it, yeah.
Yeah. When I'm out, it'll be the same thing. But my sister...
And what about when you're out, like, being a blind man? Like...
It's a weird one. So now I think their attitude, they're slowly starting to evolve to this, well, how are you going to do this now because of lockdown and everything? But before that, I think... It wasn't there. So that kind of wasn't there. I think when they saw me, I think it took me to try and be it, to show that I'm my own person and I'll speak and do things for myself.
Yeah.
But I think generally I've been staying local mainly, wherever I've been going. Like I've done more bus stuff than train stuff, to be honest. Bus routes I know already. I've always been like that, because to be honest, like we're not getting help on trains, we're not getting, you know, it's getting a bit sick, I think. But anyway, yeah, I think they're not really pushed it. I pushed to be where I am, and I think it took me to I could have been in that phase where my parents don't know that I could actually be independent, more independent than I actually am, but actually I'm not in that situation because of having pushed myself.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think I think things might have been different if there was a blind, you know, having a blind girl in the family. I think it would be quite, and I think the attitude would be very different.
It would be like it's yours sounds different to me. Obviously, I think the gender plays the gender roles play a difference because, you know, it basically is what you said for blind, like for girls, we're just so there's just you boys and have like, so much leeway.
Or well, another thing, I think a lot of Asian people probably think blind girls can't have children and stuff. And I think even like my sister was shocked the other day when I spoke to her about it, and I was like, oh, I know blind people who are pregnant, and she was like, she was quite shocked.
Really. You
know? And she was like, oh, but how are they going to manage the kid? How are they going to know when this how to do this and do that? And it's like, I know some really strong moms who are blind. But they, the thing is, they haven't seen it happen, so they don't understand what we understand.
Mm. Yeah, but the thing is, I've actually seen blind parents who are much better than... I'm not saying, like, you know, there's a thing with parenting, but I've seen some...
What that wasn't a fart, that was a door closing.
Yeah, sure it was. I've seen, like... loads of different parents and watched stuff on TV and seen, you know, reality things and just seen some parents in general. And I there are some parents that are just, who are visually impaired, but who are much better or, you know, in my point of view, much better than, you know, some other people. And like, I think as a blind parent, I'm not a parent yet. I say yeah because I could be one day, hopefully one day, maybe. Anyway, that's another story. I think as blind people, we're much more, because we're, society teaches us that we can't do anything or whatever, we want to prove a point, so we're much more careful and we're much, you know, yeah, basically. But going back to the gender thing, there's definitely like a difference between men and women. Like, I've got two brothers and I've got a sister and then I'm obviously another girl. We always are expected to do stuff and like not go outside. It's like basically what you said, like when my brother goes out, he can go out until like 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, he won't get in trouble. Like he'll just be like, you know, she'll tell him off for a little while, my mum will, and whatever. But if I'm like 1 minute over 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, my bottom gets beaten up with the stick. No, it doesn't. I'm joking. It doesn't. But I get in trouble. Like, and it's like, I understand why. Like, because my mum's very protective and she's like, you know, you're... Because obviously living in London as well, and I do a lot of train travel, whereas you do a lot of bus stuff. I do a lot of train stuff. Like, I'm always on trains.
You still do it now? Do you still do it now?
I've not been out anywhere, to be honest, because there's nowhere to go because of lockdown. But, like, all the time when I travel... I've always been on trains.
So when was the last time you went on a train this year?
The last time I went on the train this year was like... Oh, where did I go? I went somewhere. It was after the first lockdown. It was like... This was recently. It was like to September, I think, or early October. I went on the train and I went somewhere.
Did you get assistance, though? Did you get assistance?
Some are giving you assistance. Some are giving you taxis. Some just leave you stranded. So then you have to use the gut instincts.
So how did you...
hope for the best.
How did you what ones did you know were giving you help? So where were you getting the help?
I was getting the help. I got the help, like, see, because a lot of my routes mean I had to change, like, onto different trains and stuff. And it's usually between them that I don't get any help because no one wants to help you for some reason. They just don't want to show up. And it was, I think it was...
Where did you go?
Oh, basically, no, because what happened was I was going back from somewhere and I couldn't get assistance. So, because, like, there was no one there. It wasn't even that they couldn't help us, it was just no one was there. So I just, basically, I was hanging out with Justin. And Justin's quite good at travelling, as you guys all know. And he basically just helped me get to the train. And he's like, you know, do you need me to come with you to the other station? I was like, no, it's fine, you go. So, he went and he said, okay, so he's really smart, and it's actually Justin I've got to thank for this particular experience. And he's like, okay, so when you get on the train, you just turn left and you go down and you'll be the first exit to your right. And I was thinking, how did he know that? Like, because he just, like, so I went on the train, I got off, and I was like, I tried it, and he's like, he was literally right. And I was like, oh wow.
But was that any station did you find?
No, that was I think that was Finsbury Park, I believe. Yeah. It's Finsbury Park.
First, why did you go to Finsbury Park?
because I was coming back from so, but you know, I've had other experiences where I've not had any assistance at all, like when I've changed trains and stuff, and I think it was King's Cross actually, that was one of them.
I think I used to doing it.
I don't know, I haven't been to Euston in ages.
That would be so happy. Marylebone or Paddington, those are the ones useful for me.
Yeah, Paddington. Paddington was good when I went last time.
Did you actually go? So did you go to Paddington during lockdown?
No, not during lockdown. Sorry, but I went.
Oh no, that's what I meant. Like, what, which ones are doing it during lockdown? Anyway, that's another topic.
Yeah, I went to Paddington for a date. But yeah, that was like last year. I've had experiences where I've not had to, and like I just had literally had to follow my gut instincts, like just hope for the best. And like, you know, in stations like King's Cross where there's like loads of different trains, it was kind of nerve wracking. But I just kind of, I mean, to be fair, because I need to get on the Piccadilly line, so I kind of followed everyone with suitcases. Now that could have led me to like the Eurostar or something, or I don't know, some stupid place like that. But I just kind of hoped for the best. I was like, maybe they'll help me. Maybe they'll just like, I'll just follow them. Maybe they'll lead me to the right place. And they did. So I was happy. I was
lucky. What? I think as well, I think if the staff don't help us, I think members of the public would.
Oh, yeah.
My sister basically gets that, man.
Yeah, it's so unfair.
If I go and stay somewhere, it's fine for 2 days. Or whatnot.
But then for us girls, it's like, nope.
You have to do some work in the house.
It's not even that. It's just that protectiveness. But I think my family's getting better at it because they are realising that I'm older and stuff.
What?
Huh?
What did you say? They're getting better at it.
I said, I think my family's getting better at understanding that, you know, because I'm getting older and stuff, you know, I am going to go out and stuff. I said and stuff like 4 times in that whole sentence. I'm sorry. But, you know, like, they still call me and I appreciate that they still call me and text me, but there's not the whole, you know, hurry up and get home. I mean, I'm not allowed to still go out until like midnight, but, you know, I wouldn't want to be out until midnight anyway, most occasions. I've been out until midnight.
In the summer. Whoa.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me, like, when, but I can do it, I'm not scared of, like, I've walked home at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and I got in trouble for that, but, you know, that's another story. Because there's this quiz thing, and it was, like, in the evening, and it was all the way, like, in Hackney, and I was having issues with the train, and for some reason, I went this really weird route. And, oh, yeah, that's because it was in the RSPC offices. So I went on that, the overground train, I went on the underground. But, yeah, then I didn't go back until, like, 12, past 12, like, 1. And I, by the time I walked home, it was, like, 1. But I'm not scared or anything. And that's, like, I'm quite proud of myself considering that Hounslow is quite a dangerous place, especially where I live. Because there's a lot of people that are just with doing other substances and rather illegal activities. But, you know, it's what was I saying? I'm not scared of it, but it's just that I just don't like doing it because I just don't. I like being in my house. I'm just a homey girl. I don't like going out like too much. And I think it's because it was like cold as well by that point. It was still summer, but it was cold for some reason that night. And I was like, so like I'm not scared or nothing, but I just don't like really going out past midnight. I don't see the reason for it. Like, and you know, if I am scared, it's not of the people. It's more of like, you know, the gins are. I know it sounds stupid, but basically we have this thing like in our culture anyway. Hey, going back to cultures, yay! But like in Pakistani cultures, they're like, you know, if you go out past nighttime, you know, it's the time for the jins, and the jins are basically like these demons and these like spirits and things. And like the witches, chilenos, you're breaking me.
Now we get that a lot, and I think they don't really tell us. They don't use that to stop us from going out. I think they do that with us. They tend to do. I've seen it where they just do that when you're kids.
Oh no, they don't do that. Yeah, they only do that when they're kids. But like, it's still always still stuck with me. The only time my mum does it is like to my little sibling, when she wants me to stop singing, and she goes, "You know, it's past Maghrib, it's time for the jinns. Stop singing." I don't even know. But like, yeah, but it still scares me. Like, it still makes me nervous. Because like, they're like, oh, they're living under the trees. They live in the trees. And so when you're like, when I to walk back to my house, like the way I always come back to my house is like, you walk on this like low street and there's like loads of trees.
Yeah.
It's so scary. And you know, the teacher to like go out and do the trees. And it's like, I don't know, like, I'm just proper like, so like, I don't know, jinn near me or like to like,
I don't know, I just think yeah, we had that when we were kids, and I just think
it was kind of fun,
they are real
because it is like just past Halloween and we were talking about jinns. This happened like recently, and my brother was out in his car in the middle of the night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Guess what, he was not in trouble anyway, and he was with his girlfriend. So they were going to, I think it was Portsmouth. They were driving up to Portsmouth because they had to drop my brother's girlfriend's brother to, I think he's, I don't know where they're dropping him or picking him up from or something. Anyway,
was he driving? Your brother was driving?
My brother was driving, yeah. And he was driving down this motorway / place, I don't know where. And he reads the Aydar Kursi when he goes out every time, which is like a prayer, basically. So he reads the Aydar Kursi before he goes out, which is like the prayer for, it's like protection and stuff, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know. So he was driving, and he thought he saw like an animal in the road. And so he kind of swerved it, like just to kind of make sure he didn't, he drove around it so that he didn't drive into it. Now his girlfriend and his her brother don't really pray, and neither do I, to be honest, but like they don't really pray. And so when they're back of the car, because they were sitting in the back, so then, like, yeah, he does sometimes. And he, you know, like I said, he read the Aydar Kursi, but they didn't. Yeah. So, you know, so when the back of the car was like, you know, he was like driving past it because he just had to almost go, you know, drive around it. So when he was driving past it and the back of the car, because they were sitting in the back of the car, both of them started screaming and they started like crying, like proper, like the her brother, who's like literally like older than me, he started crying. He was literally like in tears, and I was like, "What's wrong? Like, what's going on?" They're like, you know, when we drove past, there's like a figure, and he was like floating towards us, and he was like, you know, he was mangled, he's like dismembered and stuff. I was so scared, like, and he was like, he was floating towards the car, and then they did some research on it, and they found out that someone had actually died there, and they had like they did some research on that specific part, you know, on that road. When they came back, and they said, you know, someone had died there in a car crash. And
so was there not an animal there?
Because basically what happened was, there was no animal, but because Junaid had read the Aydar Kursi, my brother, he'd read the Aydar Kursi. Basically, if he hadn't read it, he would have seen the same thing, and he would have drove into it and had an accident. But because he'd read it, you know, my mum believed, you know, God protected him and stuff. That's why he went around it and just saw it as an animal, where them two saw it as the actual thing. The actual entity, you know. Oh, that was. I'm so glad I wasn't there. I was scared. Like, I like paranormal stuff, but like, I'm just one of those people that doesn't want to like see the bad spirits. You know what I mean, but like, yeah, like it was. I've worked so many. Like, a lot of my family members have had experiences with jinns and things. Like, it's just. Oh, I could go into a whole other thing about that. We should do a podcast on ghosts. Oh my God, Sally, # podcast about ghosts. Yay. We should do that at some point. Oh, that would have been good for Halloween. Basically.
Halloween, I don't think, is going to continue this year because we're almost at the end of the year. And after Halloween, we usually tend to give Christmas. Well, before that, we get
But like, everyone just hypes up about Christmas, but no one has a hype about Halloween. It really upsets me. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post the other day. It really upset me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tori.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RSBC Unseen. I have been Al, and she has been...
Zeddy!
We'll be back next time.
Take care, guys.